The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing today with our talks about the Lord's Prayer, otherwise known as the Our Father. And we come today to the phrase, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, we have a bread tray at home that says that on it, "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's perfectly appropriate. But I wonder how many of you have thought about a much broader meaning to the word bread. That's what I'd like us to start thinking about today. The Lord's Prayer, as you remember, is the model that Jesus gave to his disciples. He had been teaching them many things. He had been demonstrating by his own life and example what godliness looked like. But the day came when the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And so Jesus said, "When you pray, say," and then he gave them the words of what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Have you really learned to pray according to this simple pattern? Those of you who have never used this prayer except in church, let me strongly urge you to incorporate it into your private prayers. Even though the pronouns are plural, "give us this day our daily bread," most of us have a pretty long list of people we're praying for, as well as ourselves, so you can be including them when you pray that. Have you delved into the meaning of this prayer? The more I study it and meditate on it and use it in my own private prayer time, the richer and more freighted with meaning I discover it to be. It really opens out into a just tremendous vistas of the spiritual life. The words are so simple. They're so simple that perhaps we think we understand them when there's a great deal more that we need to enter into. Now, the first phrases, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," that involves my willingness to hallow God's name in the way I live. And that's a pretty big order. Does what I do hallow his name? Am I contributing to an understanding of who God is in the minds of those who have opportunity to watch the way I live or listen to what I say? "Hallowed be thy name" involves my participation. Then "thy kingdom come" involves my willingness to see things change, perhaps that I don't want to change. "Thy kingdom come," not my kingdom, "thy kingdom, and thy will be done," not my will. And "thy will be done" very often means my will be undone, doesn't it? Have you had that experience of praying something that wasn't your idea that God would answer it in the way he did? Jan and I were talking with a friend at lunchtime whose son and daughter-in-law and children are having to move in with them because of economic pressures. Well, this mother has been praying for her son and her daughter-in-law and her grandchildren, of course, as any mother would do, and praying that the Lord's will would be done, little imagining that the answer to that prayer, in part, would be their moving in with her and her husband. Not an easy thing for middle-aged parents to accept, I wouldn't think. Well, if we pray for God's will in our lives, why do we sometimes feel that He never answers our prayers? Have you asked that question? I've been praying for God's will, but I don't think He ever answers my prayers. Possibly, your idea of an answer is a yes. Have you thought of that? No is an answer, isn't it? Or wait. Have you prayed for God's will, assuming that God's will would be done in the way that you want it done? Now, if it's God's will for this family that I mentioned to be in contact with their godly mother and father, godly grandparents, then it's going to mean an inconvenience. Very often, the will of God is quite inconvenient to our plans, our notions of peace and quietness and happiness. Well, let's be prepared for His will being done in a way that we didn't expect. Now, we need to move on to a deeper understanding of prayer. After the Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. We've turned from heaven and earth, these great, broad, general petitions. They can be general, can't they? We can sort of distance ourselves from them, thinking that, well, this doesn't really have anything to do with me. By Thy will be done, we want God to make sure that there isn't a war or to stop the famines and the earthquakes and the volcanoes. But it comes right down to where we live. But this next petition, give us this day our daily bread, brings us perhaps closer to home. We see right away that this prayer deals with very humble daily needs, ordinary things. We've turned to our humanness, and we are presenting to God our most basic human need, food. And so we touch here on the paradox of Christian prayer. The unspeakable majesty of the infinite, God in heaven, Lord of the universe, creator of all the rolling spheres, we are presenting to Him our very finite, very fleeting, everyday returning need of physical sustenance. Can God in heaven possibly be interested in our daily bread? Well, of course He is. He's the one that made it, isn't He? He gave the seeds, the wheat, the earth, the sun, the rain, all the chemicals and all the properties that go into the nourishing of that field of golden grain. It wouldn't be there without God. He also gave us the ability to plant and plow and fertilize and harvest grain and the ability to grind it and to bake bread. So here again we recognize the privilege of cooperation with God in His work. But isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God cares about our daily bread? He who is spirit, dwelling in unapproachable light, surrounded by ineffable spiritual beings, teaches us to ask Him for bread. We who are supposed to bear His life in us, we are meant to be His presence in the world. We were talking about incarnation a few days ago, the need to demonstrate the life of God in our human flesh. We can't do it without bread. We cannot survive without physical food. We can't do anything without His gifts. Life, breath, health, sunshine, water, food. When's the last time you thanked God for life? How about breath? You realize that the Bible says in His hand is the breath of every living thing? Health. I presume that I'm speaking to people who enjoy some measure of health. Even people who are sick in bed, you may be able to enjoy a cup of tea or a bowl of soup. That's a measure of health, isn't it? Do you thank God for the measure of health that you have? For sunshine, for water, for food. Could we lift a finger without him? Well, of course not. And so this prayer, I love this prayer because it reminds us of our utter dependence upon God. Praying for our true bread is a reminder of his self-giving love. And true bread has a capital B, doesn't it? Christ himself is our true bread. He said, "The bread that I will give is my body, and I give it for the life of the world." So this prayer that we're praying is for far more than the toast I eat for breakfast or the bun with the hamburger. Back to that question we asked, why is it that when I pray, "Thy will be done," I don't seem to get any answers? Well, we do get the answers. Everything is an answer. Everything in my life is of grace. All is of grace. Now, I'll probably get some letters about this and say, "Well, how can you say that such and such a thing that happened in my life is the will of God? How can you say it's of grace?" I can say it because the Bible teaches us that even the brokenness, the sinfulness, and the suffering of this world, which were not God's original plan, can be transformed. You remember that verse in Genesis that Joseph spoke to his brothers, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good." So Joseph could look back and see it as a grace. God has bread of infinitely greater value to give us than just daily food. May God teach us the depths of this simple little petition.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.